You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you would, to Revelation, the first chapter. I know you're thinking it's Easter. What are you teaching on Revelation? No, just a verse I want to bring out here. Revelation chapter 1. You know, when I think of the resurrection, I think of really what Christianity is all about. We talk about the cross. We have our symbols, you know, and the cross is a symbol of Christianity. But you know, really, what symbolizes Christianity more than the cross would be the empty tomb. Because it really didn't end at the cross. Even when Jesus said it is finished, he was just talking about it was finished what he was going to do on the earth. But he had a lot more to do after he left the cross. The Bible says he was buried. The Bible tells us he led captivity captive. The Bible tells us he rose victorious 3 days later with the keys of hell and death. So a lot took place even after the cross. But whatever was on this earth for him to do was finished at the cross. But the cross really does not define Christianity. The cross is there. We preach the cross. Stay with me. Paul says the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. But I'd submit to you that Paul talked more about the resurrection than just the cross. Jesus had to die. He had to do that. But see, when we celebrate a victory, we don't celebrate the whole battle. We celebrate the day we won.
Amen.
Isn't that right? And so today we're celebrating the victory. We're celebrating the empty tomb. Hallelujah, somebody. We're not talking about Buddha who was buried. We're not talking about Muhammad who was buried. We're talking about an empty tomb. A Jesus who rose from the dead. Hallelujah. And so when I think about the resurrection, goodness, that's the theme of Christianity. That's the crux of Christianity, as it were. It's based on the fact that he did not stay dead. That he is alive. This Jesus is not another teacher. He's not another guide. He's not another example. We didn't need another example. We didn't need another guide. We didn't need another. There's been a lot of great teachers. There's some great philosophers. There's some truths in a lot of different religions about morality and raising families and being good husbands and wives. I don't think anybody beats Jesus' teaching. But we didn't just need someone to teach us more about that. We didn't need a teacher and a guide and example. We needed a Savior to save us from our sins.
Yes.
That's what Jesus provides. Muhammad didn't do that. Buddha didn't do that. Jesus isn't in that class or that category. They didn't bury Jesus and leave him there. He just rented that thing for 3 days.
Amen.
That tomb is empty.
Amen.
And the stone was rolled away for everybody to see. Woo! Glory. So this is the message of Christianity. That there's hope after death. That death is not the end. That there is life. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun.
Amen.
Praise God. And Jesus conquered death. And conquered. You know, you don't have to be afraid of death. I know we have a natural fear of it. But there's something on the other side better than on this side. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's someone who has gone through that door and come back.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you.
And come back victorious. Hallelujah. And his name is Jesus. Praise God. Notice in Revelation, even when it talks about Jesus is speaking, and this is written in red, it says in the 18th verse, Jesus speaking, he said, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
And I have the keys of hell and death.
Hallelujah.
Wow. So he rose, he didn't just beat death, he beat the devil at his own game, and got the keys of hell and death from him, and now Jesus has the keys of hell and death.
Yeah.
You say, what does that mean? Well, it means when you die as a Christian, now you go to heaven. You couldn't do that before Jesus, but you can now. You know, Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 8, verse. The 7th verse we have on our banner says, Jesus, what's Jesus is Lord? That's not what it says. It says, we walk by faith. You see, the bigger letters, that's what I saw was the big letter. We walk by faith and not by sight. The 8th verse says, we're confident rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. What's that about? Well, when Jesus rose from the dead, he opened up the way to heaven.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory. And now when we die as Christians, we go to heaven. You know, when Stephen was stoned in Acts the 7th chapter, he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Paul talked about in the book of Philippians, first chapter, he talked about to live as Christ, to die as gain. It's far better for me. I'm in a strait betwixt the two. I'm standing at the crossroads. I've got a choice to stay or go. I was thinking of Yogi Berra said one time, when you meet a fork in a road, take it. But Yogi Berra never made any sense. But I just lost that joke on y'all. Y'all get that later. Really. I mean, you get home and you go, oh, I got it. Anyway, Paul's saying, I stand at the crossroads in the strait between two, to stay, which is far better for you, to go, which is far better for me, to live as Christ and die as gain. See, he was saying he was going to go on to be with the Lord. And all your loved ones have gone on to be with the Lord. When I think about, if they know Jesus is Lord and Savior, they've gone to heaven. When I think about the resurrection, it has tremendous implication. It doesn't just tell me that Jesus rose. It tells me that I'm going to rise. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It gives me hope for my loved ones, people I've known that accepted Jesus. They're in heaven. I have that confidence. So it means so much more than just the tomb's empty and he rose. He did that for us. He opened that way for us. The stone is rolled away.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. The grave is empty. And he says, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore.
Amen.
See, there's been people raised from the dead. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. The widow of Nain's son was raised from the dead. Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead. Peter raised Dorcas from the dead. And under the old covenant, Elijah raised a young man from the dead. Elisha raised one, and another one came alive when they fell on Elisha's bones. So people have been raised from the dead and then died again, but Jesus rose from the dead and he's alive forevermore. He dies no more. And we don't serve a Jesus on the cross. Many times we'll see crucifixes, you know, with Jesus on the cross. And I understand the suffering he went through, and it's a great symbol of that. We understand that. But the cross that we look at is an empty cross. Are you with me? And the tomb we look at is an empty tomb.
Amen.
And when I look at death, it's an empty thing.
Yes.
What I see in the resurrection is that life is more powerful than death.
Amen.
That life wins every time.
Amen.
And Jesus was life. And he arose and he conquered death, hell, and the grave. And now he has the keys.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I mean, that must have been a day when he went down and, just as we say in East Texas, whoop the devil, you know.
Amen.
I mean, the devil thought he had him. In fact, that's what the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, around the 7th verse. It says, had the princes of this world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They thought they had killed him and stopped this whole thing. But all they did was exactly what he came to do. They fulfilled the will of God in his life. He came to die. He took the devil's greatest weapon, which was death. And this is a great strategy if you're a general or an army or you study wars or battles, is you take the enemy's greatest weapon. You know what they're going to do. You know what they're going to throw at you. And you use it against them.
Amen.
You know, if you're fighting, you know that guy is going to throw that right punch. He's got a left hook or a right hook or a right, something he throws all the time. So you're looking for it. You know he's going to use it, and you're going to use it against him. Well, the devil's greatest weapon was death. And Jesus took death and destroyed death with death.
Amen.
Wow. He took the greatest weapon and turned it around on the devil.
Amen.
And came and died. And the devil says, yeah, we got him. And Jesus says, no, you didn't. And he took the keys of hell and death from him. In fact, the Bible says he made a show of them openly. If you could have seen the corridors of hell, it must have been an amazing sight, you know, when Jesus went down and just absolutely defanged the devil. Descended him, defanged him, whatever, took the keys of hell and death, and traipsed him down to the corridors of hell and showed him off, made a show of him openly. The spoils of war he won. He says, I'm Lord, I got the keys now. You're not holding anybody else again that calls on my name. They're coming up with me. You can't have them. I have the keys of hell and death. And he arose victorious. And ever since the resurrection, it's been that way. People have been going to heaven left and right that call on his name. The resurrection doesn't just mean Jesus came out of the grave. It means you and I will too. In fact, our body will come back out when he comes from heaven. Our spirit goes to be with him even now. He is alive forevermore. more. See, this is what Christianity is about. Even we quote Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Our salvation, the foundation of our salvation, is based on this event, this day we're celebrating, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not a good teacher, not just a good moral, ethical teacher, not a good man, he was that, not just sinless, he was that, but a risen Savior. That's what separates Christianity from every other religion and every other philosophy or concept. There is a resurrection, hallelujah. There is life after death, and Jesus has procured it for us. You think about, you know, Paul talked about the resurrection probably over 30 times, I think, in the New Testament. He devotes whole chapters to the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, Romans 6 chapter. You just start talking about the resurrection and just go off the hook. Because you go through the book of Acts, they taught, if you look at the sermons that Peter preached and the sermons that Paul preached through the book of Acts, and there are several through there you can find, they're always talking about God raising Jesus from the dead. You killed Him, you crucified Him, God raised Him from the dead. At one point, Paul preached so much about it, they said they thought he was preaching two different gods, Jesus and the resurrection. They thought he was preaching foreign gods, plural, because he talked so much about the resurrection. Hallelujah. If in this life alone we have hope, we are of all creatures most miserable. Thank God for His promises. Thank God for the help we get while we're here. But I tell you what, this is just a journey. This is a short step. Life is short. Hell is hot and heaven's high. Amen. Amen. And Jesus made a way for us to go to heaven. He gave us hope. There is joy at this time of year. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. Those women that went over to that empty tomb, they came to a tomb they thought had Jesus in it with the stone on it. When they got there, in their sorrow, the stone was rolled away, the tomb was empty, and their sorrow was turned to joy. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. You know, for centuries, that was the greeting of the church. The church would, they would greet each other, they'd say, "He is risen," and the response was, "He is risen indeed." That brings joy. The Bible tells us in Hebrews that Jesus, for the joy, the 12th chapter, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross. What was the joy? The resurrection. All of you coming to Him and me coming to Him and countless thousands upon thousands and millions of people that have accepted Jesus for 2,000 years. That was the joy that caused Jesus to hang on the cross. Because He knew Sunday morning was coming, hallelujah. Amen. That the Word of God was true, that the promises will come to pass. That God's not a man He'd lie, nor the Son of Man He'd repent, hallelujah. Amen. He even said He would rise from the dead. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. He told His disciples, "I will rise." Yes. "Give us a sign." He said, "I'll give you one sign. It's the sign of Jonah." It says, "He was 3 days in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days in the earth." Hallelujah. "I'll lay my life down and I will take it up again." Amen. And He did. Thank God He did. Hallelujah. Thank God He rose. See, this is the foundation of Christianity. Paul even said this in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter. He said this. He said, "If Christ be not risen, your faith is vain. And you are dead in your sins." Well, you know, Muhammad's a good man, Buddha's a good man. Well, I don't have any doubt they might be good people, but that's not what we're taught. Jesus is not just a good person. He's a risen Savior. He's a conqueror. He's a warrior. He beat the devil. He beat hell. He beat death. He beat sin. He beat it all. He won it all. And we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We have the victory. That's where our joy comes from. Jesus even told His disciples, John 16 chapter, He talked about, He said, "You're going to sorrow, because I'm going to go away. You're going to be sorrow, like a woman who's in travail with a child. But you're going to rejoice because I'm going to see you again." They didn't understand what was going on themselves. Remember the two disciples in Luke 24 on the road to Emmaus? After Jesus died, they're walking along talking about Jesus, and Jesus appears to them. They don't know who He is. It's after the resurrection. He rose from the dead and appeared to them. He appeared to them. He said, "What's wrong with you?" They said, "Well, we're kind of sad. This Jesus, we thought He was going to set us free and establish the kingdom, and now He's died." And Jesus said, "Oh, slow of heart. Slow to believe the prophets, the Psalms, and the Scripture. And then the Bible says he began to expound to them how Jesus must die, must suffer, must rise again. And they got in front of their house and they said, well, here's our house. Would you like to come in? And he said, sure, I'll come in. And he sat down. The Bible says when he broke the bread and blessed it, he disappeared and he was revealed to them and they knew it was Jesus. Now, this is after the resurrection. And they said, did not our heart burn within us when we heard his word? See, God's word ought to burn within us when we think about the fact that God did exactly what he said he would do. He fulfilled his promises just like he said. He loved us. He came and died for us. He rose again for us. Hallelujah. I confess Jesus is Lord, and I believe that God has raised him from the dead.
Yes.
Therefore, I am saved. Hallelujah. And my salvation is based on, and your salvation is based on, Christianity is based on the fact that the tomb is empty.
Amen.
Even more than the cross, the empty tomb symbolizes Christianity. It shows who's got the real power, not the devil. Not death. That's not the end. Are you kidding me? Death wasn't the end for Jesus. He just took it and conquered it and rose again. See, the devil thought he killed Jesus and all he did was plant him. What you plant comes back up. We've been planting people ever since. For 2,000 years, we've been planting Christians, Christian bodies. They're going to come back up. We can put a marker up, you know, like you do on a row of corn. You put, this is corn. Put another marker. This is tomatoes. We put, this is John Smith.
Amen.
Got a marker right there where that thing's planted. Because one day, it's going to come back up. Think about it. We can walk along and look at what's going to come up in case we forgot what's planted there. So when it comes up, we'll recognize it. Well, that's John Smith. There he is, right there, right there. There he is. Oh, I like it. That'll preach, amen. Glory. Praise God. Turn with me to Matthew 28. I'm going to take a few minutes. I won't keep you long. I appreciate you all coming. Had a good crowd this morning. It's always good to fellowship. And I do. I pray you enjoy the service, but I pray you get this. That's what this is about. This is about Jesus. It's not about International Outreach Church. It's not about me. It's not about the worship team, the songs, all those things. All that's really to point to him. I can't help you, but he can. I can help you by praying with you and standing with you, but I can only point you to him. He's where you're going to get your help from. And there's people here I know from all different walks of life and come in with all different needs, and you know, but God knows them all, and he cares about you, and he's for you. Praise God. If he didn't care about you, he wouldn't have come down here and died for your sins. But he did. And that proves, beyond all doubt, that he loves us and he's for us. And also proves, and it guarantees, and it gives us confidence that he rose from the dead, it proves that he fulfills his promises, that he's got the power. He'll always do what he says. Hallelujah. Now notice this in Matthew 28. I think this is so significant. You'll find this in the end of every gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all talk about where they went to the tomb, where Jesus rose from the dead after the crucifixion. And so it's an awesome study, and you ought to do that. You get a little different account, you know, of different Mark's account, Luke's account, John's account, Matthew's account. You put them all together, and you got what happened. But he rose from the dead. The stones rolled away not to let him out. I think the stones rolled away to let us in. To show us that it was empty. Because Jesus could appear through walls or out of walls. It didn't matter to Jesus. He actually appeared to the 11 while they were in a closed room with the doors locked. And that's not because he was such a mist and a vapor. It's because he was so solid and so concrete and so real. See, what is your life? It is but a vapor, the Bible says. We've got it all turned around. We think the Spirit is just misty, you know, like a ghost. You know, you hear about ghosts, and they're just vague-looking, transparent things. But actually, this world is what's death-doomed. This world is what's passing away. This world is what's corruptible, what decays. Everything you look at around here is going to deteriorate and decay in years, you give it time, even the body that you're in, until it's changed or glorified. But the body that Jesus rose from the dead with was so real, was so solid, that no wall could keep him from going through it. Heaven is a real place. Heaven's not a mystical place. Heaven's not a vaporous place. Heaven is a real solid place, the most solid real place you've ever been in your life. You sure don't want to miss it. You want to go there.
Amen. Oh,
But I can tell you this, you couldn't abide heaven, you couldn't live in heaven, you couldn't exist in heaven in the body that you're in right now. Because your body's not solid enough. It has to be changed. It'll have to be glorified. And the Bible tells us that will happen. If you were taken to heaven now, the blades, the grass of heaven would cut through you like knives. Rain would shoot through you like bullets. It's too real. It's too solid. You even see appearances of angels in the Bible where they would step out of glory, or Jesus, when he stepped out of his glory in Revelation, the first chapter, what happened? People fell down, the breath left their body. They passed out. Not because they thought they saw something, because they saw something real for the first time in their whole life. Glistened like the sun. Eyes like fire, feet like brass. They never saw anything so real. Too real. Too real. Moses says, too much power. I can't. Too much. God said, I want to see. He said, you can't look me in the face. You get a cleft of this rock and I'll just pass backwards and that's about all you can see, just the backside of me. If I looked you in the face, I'd melt the flesh off your body. And Moses, just seeing the backside of God, came off the mountain and had put a veil over his face. People couldn't even look at him because of the glory that was still on him from just looking at the backside of God. Wow. No, we got something better coming, hey.
Amen.
We got a resurrection body, a resurrection model coming.
Can't wait, man. Woo. Hallelujah.
We're going to dance. We're going to shout. Yeah, you know. We're going to run. I mean, no wrinkles, no makeup. Hallelujah, somebody. Are you with me? Whatever happened to Jesus is going to happen to us. Oh man, I gotta hurry. Okay. Good stuff. Amen. 20th chapter. Just stay with me. Track with me. I'll just take a few minutes here, read the story. 28th chapter, Matthew, first verse. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn. Oh, Sunday morning. Hallelujah. The first day of the week, but see, this is why we celebrate on Sunday. You know, under the old covenant, they celebrate on Saturday, Sabbath. We celebrate on Sunday. Why? Because that's the day Jesus rose from the dead.
Praise God.
First day of the week. Hallelujah. Y'all get it? I mean, that's why we do it. That's the day Jesus rose. That's what the church is all about, the resurrection.
Yeah, that's right.
It says, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Boy, I love that. Mark's account, the women are talking, they're on their way over there, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome, two Marys. They were going to the grave and they were talking amongst themselves. Man, who's going to roll that stone away? Who's going to roll that stone away? It's too big, huge stone. I mean, these stones were big. And so they were concerned about it. Of course, when they got there, it was rolled away. Now, Matthew's account tells us what happened. An angel came down. Man, the power of God that's resident in angels came down and he just hit that stone, roll it away. That's not all that happened. It says he sat down and his countenance was like lightning and his clothing was white as snow and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. There's the great vaunted Roman soldiers, you know. Actually, it was the temple guards. But can you imagine them guarding this tomb? Because they're afraid the disciples are going to come steal him. Because they'd heard a rumor that he was supposed to rise from the dead. And they didn't believe it. So they thought, well, the disciples are going to come steal them, and so we'll put guards, we'll seal the tomb, and then we'll put guards around the tomb, and we'll stop this insanity. We'll stop this. Yeah, right, you're going to stop God's word from coming to pass. So here comes the angel with an earthquake. Kaboom! The stone rolls around away. Everybody falls out, all their armor and spears going one way or the other. And the angel just sits down like this. Man, this is cool. This is awesome. He just sitting there, and here comes Mary. Mary and Mary. But the angel answered and said to the women, I love this. Where were the men?
Yeah.
Come on, guys. This is embarrassing. The men, they were locked up in a room because they were afraid they were going to be next. But a woman gets something in her mind, nobody is going to stop them. This mother instinct, we're going to take care of Jesus, we're going to finish preparing Him. You know, I could see them tromping through there, let some Roman soldier stop me from getting that tomb. And all the disciples. Well, really, I mean, you think about it. Every account, it's the women that went. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Hallelujah. Okay, that's enough women. Okay. All the women are going, amen. Yes. Or, amen. And the guard shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. Oh, man. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. And see, they opened the tomb so they could see that it was empty. And go quickly and tell his disciples, because they're not here, they're hiding. Yeah. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. Oh, what a difference the resurrection makes.
Yeah.
These women in sorrow and mourning show up at this tomb. And Jesus wipes it all away in one fell swoop. And their mourning is turned into joy. See, that's what the resurrection should mean to us. Hey, weeping may endure for the night, joy comes in the morning. The joy of Easter, the joy of Resurrection Sunday, the joy of life, the joy of faith, the joy of a future, the joy of our destiny, the joy of the empty tomb, that death's not the end. And if Christ, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, dwell in you, He'll quicken or make alive your mortal bodies. Romans 8 verse 11 tells us that. I mean, all through the Scripture, we have this hope of the resurrection. All of our lives as Christian, we live from day to day in the hope of the resurrection. And when sorrow comes and mourning comes and sadness comes, we have the joy of the resurrection. We're going to have to turn away from the tomb and look to the risen Christ, though. We're going to have to turn away from the cross and look to the risen Christ. We're going to have to turn away from the pain and look to the risen, the conqueror, the one who conquered death, hell, and the grave.
Yes.
See, resurrection gives us hope. Yeah. It gives us hope and it gives us victory. We have won this deal already.
Amen.
Jesus is risen.
Yes.
Woo!
Yes.